Hello folks, it's Pilgrim Chris, and it's the 3rd of May, 2012. And I've been struggling for things to say lately. I've been having so many thoughts that I want to share on Twitter and Audioboo, but have not found the words to do so. And it's been very frustrating. And today I listened to a boo from Paul Omani of Omani Blog. A boo entitled A Day in the Life. And I will put the link to that boo on my Audioboo page. I'm not going to dwell too much about the contents of that boo here, apart from at the very end of the boo, where Paul was asking for people to share a day in their life, and Paul being interested, as always, in other people. I thought I would share a day, but it's not going to be today I'm sharing. It's not going to be what I'm up to today. The day I'm going to share is January the 3rd, 1972. January the 3rd, 1972. How many years ago is that? 40 years? And that day changed my life. It has made me the person I am today. It has made me the person I want to change today. It resonates so strongly within me. In January 1972, I was living in a lovely detached house with my mother and father and brother. I can remember the neighbour, Mrs. Wilkinson, dear old lady across the garden fence, who would pass sweets over to me and my brother. I can remember Glenda and Ray on the other side, a young couple, no children at the time, who would babysit me and my brother while my mother and father went out. I can remember my brother being a biter, he would bite people, and Glenda one day bit him back, not hard, enough to shock him, and my brother never bit anybody after that. I can remember the apple tree in the garden. I can remember the woodlice in it. The swing that my father had put up and swinging on it. I can remember building a Lego bus with white and red Lego bricks with my father on the living room floor. I can remember sitting at the breakfast bar table. I can see it now. Eating cinnamon on toast. I can see my mother and father opposite me, my father spreading huge quantities of butter on his toast. I can see my brother falling down the patio steps. Didn't hurt himself. Quite comical, really. I can remember finding a harmonica under a chair, not knowing what it was, and my father explaining it to me and playing the harmonica. Wonderful. I have a harmonica of my own. All these things I can remember up until 1972. These memories of a very early child. From 1972, January the 3rd, 1972, up until November of that year, I can only remember one thing out of all those months. And the thing I can remember was being told by Neil Brown, the local school bully, who is actually today a very good friend of mine, telling me my father was dead. I don't remember anything after that until the November. I don't know when in this period between January and November I was told that. But I do know, subsequently, that on January the 3rd, 1972, my father died. He died in the bath in his sleep from a coronary heart attack caused by high cholesterol levels, that butter he used to put on his toast, and the fact that he smoked 60 part drive a day didn't help either, I suppose. My mother finding him in the bath, wondering why he was taking so long, seeing him asleep and leaving him, and then coming back again some time later and trying to wake him and not being able to. These are memories I have subsequently memories of being told of the events. What I remember in November of 1972, when I can next remember anything, was the head teacher coming into my classroom at my primary school and pulling me to one side and saying that my Auntie Betty was there to collect me. She wasn't my real Aunt Betty, we just called her Aunt Betty. She was a family friend. She had three children of her own of a similar age to myself and my brother. And she was going to take me to her house. I didn't think anything of that particularly at the time. I went to her house. And this was around about November time, because I can remember spending Christmas there. And I can remember at Christmas still not being aware of anything. The fact that my father had died, I can't remember recollecting whether I still remembered that, if you know what I mean. But I can remember lying in bed on Christmas Eve, in a bunk bed, myself, my brother, her two boys, her daughter was in another room, and we're waiting for Christmas, singing songs, staying awake. And I can remember my Aunt Betty coming to the room, wearing a robe, telling us to be quiet or Father Christmas wouldn't be able to come. I can remember sitting down with my Auntie Betty when she told me that I couldn't stay there anymore and that myself and my brother were going to live with some strangers. My mother was in hospital and was poorly and couldn't look after us. I subsequently learned she'd had a nervous breakdown and was put into a mental hospital and was undergoing ECT treatment, barbaric treatments of today, by today's standards. I can remember crying bitterly, leaving my Auntie Betty with Mr. Smiley, the social worker, who took me and my brother to this new home, not far away, but a strange place nonetheless for two young children. I can remember my brother being hit there by these people and me telling Mr. Smiley what had happened. And the next thing I know, we were being put into another house, and then another house, and then another house, six in total, until we settled on the seventh house. Those six houses, those six different people we stayed with, were in the first 4 months. And for the next 14 months, I stayed with my Auntie Marg and Uncle Tom. I still call them that to this day. They were the people, the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful people who looked after me and my brother until my mother was well enough to take us home. From that time in November 1972 until around about the same time, 1973, I didn't see my mother at all. We weren't allowed to visit. It was part of her treatment, apparently. And then I can remember visits from my mother. My mother had learnt to pass her test as part of her treatment, a driving test, and had this little car. She had already left the home, was working, and then was deemed able to have me and my brother back again. I can remember the first time sitting in our home, new home, with my mother, myself and my brother, and my mother cooking us a tea. And the tea was a salad with fish cakes. I can remember it. I was 8 years of age. And I can remember for dessert a curly whirly bar of chocolate. And my mother being very excited to be able to give us a curly whirly bar of chocolate. I can remember my young brother looking at me thinking, why is Mum making such a fuss over a bar of chocolate? You see, we'd lived with foster carers who had paid a lot of money to look after us and were very generous with their money. They took us on holidays and gave us treats all the time. But even at that young age, I was aware that this to my mother was indeed a big gift, a sacrifice. I learnt later that my mother was quite poor, that no longer had we a big house and cars and holidays that we had before, but we had a terraced house rented and my mother was working as a care assistant. Nothing wrong with that at all. But it makes it more poignant, that curly-whirly bar of chocolate that she gave us. I can remember the first argument I had with my mother at this time, and how my mother then went off to see Mr. Smiley, the social worker, in tears because we'd had an argument, and him saying, "That's good. It's good that he's arguing, Chris is arguing with you, because he feels he can trust you again." Hiram. Excuse me. I remember these memories. So there's a day in the life. 1972, January 3rd. The day my father died.